Hello everyone, this is Leonie Hodson, and I am and myself BL are presenting the Introduction to Esoteric Astrology Lesson 3. And so welcome to our attendees, and hope that you enjoy this third series in our astrology instructions. I have the first slide up with a wonderful quote from the Tibetan, from Esoteric Psychology, Esoteric Astrology, page 7. And the quote is, "The ancient wisdom teaches that space is an entity, and it is with the life of this entity and with the forces and energies, the impulses and the rhythms, the cycles and the times and seasons that esoteric astrology deals." So just take that thought into our minds as we just say hello. We have two students in attendance at the moment, Antoinette and Yvonne. Perhaps if we could just have them switched their microphones on for a second. So welcome, Antoinette. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. It's very early in the morning in South Africa.
But, what time is it, Antoinette?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, dear. And so welcome being along. And Yvonne, welcome to you as well. What time is it in the U.S.?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, USA, and it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, welcome along. And so, and here in Australia, Brisbane, Australia, it's 10 a.m. in the morning. And Bill, what time is it in Florida?
I'm in the same time zone Yvonne is, so it's 7 p.m. for me.
Okay. All right. So, just pondering then this most wonderful quote, which really helped expand my consciousness, my sort of inquiring consciousness in space as an entity. I remember when I read this and I used to go outside in the evening and look at all the stars and ponder it. And the thought that came to mind is that space, the canopy of the heavens, is really space and it's an entity. And in a sense, I thought to myself, I'm looking at the physical body of deity, of the universe. And all the planets, all the solar systems, the suns, all the galaxies are but chakras, major and minor, within this great form. And it was, I had a really spiritual and very expansive experience every time I did that, and I would ponder this particular quote as I went outside, and I thought perhaps others may have had some similar experience. What about you, BL? How did this quote affect you, or did it at all?
It did, in exactly the same way. I didn't go outside, but it was one of those things that when I first heard it, it completely blew me away. You know, you hear that phrase, but, you know, deity is the body that we live and breathe and have our being in his body. And you don't really put that in context until you can recognize in your heart, in your mind, that space is an entity. And that's how all of the, as astrologers, we call it the music of the spheres, but it's the the planets as chakras and the solar systems as chakras and this great entity's body, how that all works, how it works out.
Yes, it's really amazing. And Anne Cressis, welcome along to the webinar. And does anybody else have any thought at all about this particular quote? We also have Astrid, who's assisting us with this program. Please, Astrid, if you have any thoughts, just come in. But Anne, Antoinette, or Yvonne, have you come across this quote before? Do you have any comments, even if you have not come across it before? If so, just put your hand up if you'd like to comment on it. The amazing thing about it, Antoinette, yes, what thoughts have come to your mind?
The thought that comes up to me, as you said earlier, we are but a little microcosm in this macrocosm. It makes it feel so small, but yet so expansive with the universe.
And that is right. And the feeling that I used to have went outside was I was connected. For it really realized down on a very physical level, I was connected to God in this way. Otherwise, we realize that normally we think, well, we can't see deity, it's on a higher plane, it's more subtle than that. But when I read this quote and I had this experience, I really felt for the first time physically there was some tangible evidence, or at least this quote put the thought in my mind that on a very physical level, you can actually see a part of God, and that's the way that's the experience that I have, that I was looking at the mantle and the body of deity when I looked up at the stars. So quite a mystical experience. So I thought that would be a wonderful way to start our seminar this morning. If we could go to the next slide then, please, Astrid. And on this next slide, I've just summarised some of the important points. Just click it again. Thanks, Astrid. And again, two more times, and once more. And so we have here that another way of looking... can you go back, please, Astrid? So we have here on this slide, just summarising, but I've emphasised the ascending and rising sign because that is the aspect of that we're going to be focusing on this morning, or this morning Australian time. And so as we know, we have been emphasising all through the course that you are doing in Great Quest and also in these seminars that we work with the moon sign, which represents the past, the prison of the soul. We work with the sun sign, which represents the present, personality goals, and says so much about our personality nature. And that we work with the ascendant or rising sign. And this quote from esoteric astrology reads this way. The ascendant or rising sign, it indicates the intended life or immediate soul purpose for this incarnation. And so we know that somehow in the information that we can glean from our rising sign, it's telling us something about our immediate soul purpose, what we need to do to become more soul conscious, how we need to express ourselves, the qualities that we need to develop and express. And so that from that first part of the quote, we get that information. Then it continues. It holds the secret of the future and presents the force which rightly used will lead the man to success. And so I wanted to discuss that little bit and just try and go a little bit deeper in that. What does it mean? It holds the secret of the future. For myself, I have thought that not only does it perhaps represent the pathway, a future pathway that we may travel in this incarnation, but I have taken it to mean that there is a possibility that it holds a secret for our next incarnation and perhaps future incarnations as well. And so I've done meditations on this and tried to see if I get any impressions about what my future might lie. In fact, well, I have a Scorpio ascendant, so I've been meditating on that. So that's one aspect, and I don't know if anybody else has pondered these type of thoughts as well, but definitely, I believe that the key to a future incarnation is ties up with that. And I'll come back to that. Well, no, I'll say it now. For myself, what I have thought it might hold is it tells us a little bit about what the soul may want to do in the next incarnation as well. So in this life, we are being asked to develop the qualities and the skills associated with this, with our rising sign, because in the future incarnation, it might be linked to a future incarnation. It could be a profession that we might have in the outer world, but more definitely for me, I think it might be tied up with the future work that we will be doing as souls and for the ashram that we belong to as well. So, for example, for myself as a Scorpio ascendant, and linking that to esoteric psychology, for example, or esoteric studies, which and Scorpio is a healing sign, I have thought that perhaps that the work that I might be doing in this life with esoteric psychology, and also medical astrology from an esoteric perspective, which is what I'm focusing on now, that I might carry that forward into my next incarnation. So that is the way that I haven't interpreted that for me. And so we might also look at that angle and see if anyone, as we look at your rising signs, anyone in attendance today, if you have thoughts, any impressions, intuitive impressions along those lines. Then going to the second part of the sentence, it continues, so not only does it hold the secret of the future, it presents the force which rightly used will lead the man to success. I have thought that more immediately in the future, in the present moment, that when we develop those qualities for myself, it brings us into balance in our personality life. DK does say in another quote somewhere that it brings right balance and harmony between soul and personality. So developing the qualities, the higher positive qualities of the rising sign, are needed to bring balance to our lives and to bring the personality into balance. And so, for example, for myself, I have a Cancer sun, which is my personality. So, and it can be very defensive, very emotional. And so I'm needing my Scorpio warriorship, my Scorpio courage, for example, to help balance out those negatives of Cancer. So that's just a simple interpretation, which you might help the students. Also, the energy that he is talking about is the ray energy, which comes through the sign and not necessarily through the planet ruling the sign. So we have, for example, ray 4 coming through a Scorpio ascendant. This is the quality or the ray of harmony through conflict. So really, my instruction to me from the soul is to learn to develop harmony, to work through conflict until I come to a point of balance and equanimity and I find that higher harmony and to be able to hold that, and that will lead me to success. Now, this is something that I was trying to do in my worldly life and in my outer professional life in the corporate world even before I started studying esoteric teachings, realizing that I was too emotional and all over the place. And so I was practicing this anyway. And I think anybody does when you realize that you have to take yourself into hand if you want to proceed in any professional way, whether that's spiritually or in the outer world, that you need to keep your emotions under control. In a way, this is a real instruction which is telling me this, that again, that bringing those, developing this harmony within yourself will lead not only to worldly success, but also to spiritual success. And as we know, once we develop that inner harmony, it enables the soul to come through and to impress us, our minds, and our come through into our life. And so, this is the way that I haven't interpreted that a part of this quote. Then he goes on, it represents the sattvic or harmony aspect of life and can produce, well, here's the quote, and can produce right relationship between soul and personality in any one incarnation. It thus points the way to the recognition of the force of the soul. So in a way, I've covered that already. saying it does produce the sattvic or harmony aspect. We know that in the gunas of in Sanskrit, we have tamas, which is inertia, we have raja, which is action, and we have sattva, which is harmony. And in fact, those three gunas, or methods or modes of energy and how they express themselves, can be related to the three levels of consciousness of those who are really focused in their moon signs, which is tamas or inertia, focused in their personality sign, which is more rajas, rajasistic, or starting to focus in their rising sign, the energy of the soul, which brings about sattva or harmony. So I think this is an amazing quote, and I would like to hear your thoughts, what thoughts come to your mind as we ponder the quote or anything I may have said. Bill, do you have anything that you would like to add?
Well, I guess one of my first experiences with esoteric astrology was Alan Oken's book, and he referred to it as soul-centered astrology. And I thought that was, you know, that stuck with me, that that was a very good way of putting it, even all these years later, having actually read esoteric astrology and working with it, I still like the way that he put that. So it's interesting to look at it in this perspective and to think of it as the future. Like you said, something that not only is going to build in this life, as we hope we gain soul consciousness and are actually working for the purpose of our soul, but something that we're going to carry with us to the next life and more, because we know the soul, our soul ray carries forward with us. Our personality ray may change, but our soul ray isn't going to. So that's also important. Mine is Gemini. So I think I've found my little niche here with the teaching that I do with the Great Quest and Meditation Quest. And I find that I really love that. My Leo sun was good for me when I was pursuing my career path, and that brought me a lot of places, and more importantly, it gave me a lot of skills, so that when I did start my soul work, I could use those skills to help with the work that I'm doing in the Moira Federation, and I think that's all very Gemini. My son is in my Gemini house. It's in the third house. So I think there's been a relationship between the two of them all along. Not that I put two and two together until, you know, much later in life when I really had the time to sit and pursue esoteric astrology and the Alice Bailey books. So that's how I see the ascendant working out, at least mine.
Thank you. And would anyone else like to comment? Okay. Oh, Yvonne, yes, what thoughts have come to mind?
First of all, I'd like to say I'm sitting here in the snow, freezing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm looking at you sitting there in a sundress.
It's really, I've got the air conditioning on as well, Yvonne.
Where are you?
I'm in Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, Australia. Well, I guess it must be summer there. Anyway, the way I look at this is it holds the secret of the future. I'm not that far advanced that I'm looking into the next life or incarnation. I'm still working on this one. And so the secret of the future, to me, means this lifetime. I'm taking it like at this lifetime. I can see where you're talking about future incarnations, but I'm not there yet. And presents the work which, rightly used, will lead to a man's success. So I'm still working on this lifetime, and my ascendant is Virgo, and my sun is in Libra. So with the ascendant in Virgo, it's all about purification, and that's what I've been doing. I'm on the probationary path, And it's all about purification, and that seems like what I've been doing most of my life. I've been through different healing courses. I've been in, this is my fourth year in Moria, and it's just working on the different layers of the onion, you know, one layer after another.
That's right, and thank you for that. We may as well just go a little bit more deeply into that, the Virgo as well. Remembering that there are three levels to every sign, of course, and you would be working very much on the soul level, which is Moon unveiling Vulcan. And Vulcan is the planet most associated with purification, as we know. Vulcan was the... Really, I get this great image. He was the forge of the gods, the blacksmith of the gods, and used to beat the metal. And, of course, and is really related to Taurus as well. And the beating of the metal, it's, I want to ask you, Yvonne, have you felt at times that Vulcan has been beating you into shape?
Well, Taurus is my moon sign.
And there we go.
In my earlier lifetime, I was a... You know, I have alcoholism. I don't drink anymore. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, so we will keep that anonymous. But was an escape. But that's one of the things that I had to work on with purification. I knew that wasn't my soul's purpose, and that isn't what God intended me to do. And the smoking, the same way. And you know, it's just one addiction after another. And this is just different steps in the purification of my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Why?
Yes, and the higher ruler of Virgo is Jupiter, which is Ray 2, more than Ray 2. So it's really interesting, and it's also I think that for myself, I wonder at times how much of these higher energies, to what extent do we get affected also by these higher energies, and the sky's the limit at the moment. With you being working on soul level of Virgo and having Vulcan coming through, which is Ray 1, that will really colour you and your personality, as well as doing that inner necessary purification work. But also Jupiter is the higher ruler of Virgo, and so it is a very inclusive, of course, and rules the heart chakra as well. So. This is these are steps for you that are laid out. Not only are you purifying your lower appetites, perhaps the base chakra, which is associated with Ray 1, but also the opportunity to have some opening of your heart chakra, because not only does Jupiter Ray 2 rule on the higher level of Virgo, but Ray 2 also flows through Virgo itself with the Ray 6, as you would know. So it means that you are very much connected with the second ray, as well as with the sixth ray in this life and in the work that you are doing. So,
I forgot to mention that I spent 50 years in nursing, so I was a nurse. I am heart-centered. I've been through Barbara Brennan School of Healing, and I've taken esoteric healing twice, and I participate in the esoteric healing seminar. So I do have a heart connection, too.
Yes, that's wonderful. And so we can really see that working out most beautifully with you in this life. Tell me, you've got the moon in Taurus, and so Vulcan, once we are working on that level, it really does flow through. The energy of Vulcan is revealed by the moon. So we have Vulcan also, the Ray 1, coming through your Taurus moon and also through your sun sign. What sign is your sun?
Libra.
Yeah, I thought you said that. So we have Vulcan Ray 1 flowing through both Libra and both Taurus as well, and helping you develop yourself in that way. So thank you for sharing that with us. So that is a really good example. And also about the nursing side, because it's such a great sign of service, Virgo. But also I've noticed very often with a lot of people at Virgo rising, they really are great teachers and are able to assimilate information, are so discriminating, are able to put together teaching material that is just most beautifully presented. So I don't know if you've ever had any aspirations along those lines, but I think that that is something I've really admired in Virgo Rising people. The other thing I know about Virgo is FDR had Virgo Rising, and so did Winston Churchill. And so it's just the most great sign, and they brought through the discriminating element. They were both first-ray souls, of course. They had that first-ray flown through Virgo, learned to be very discerning and discriminating. They were the leaders that led the Western world through the prickly morass of the Second World War. And so that Virgo, and helping you to be very discerning and perceptive and picking the right moments and timing, was such an essential part. So it is a great sign. So thank you for sharing with us, Yvonne.
You're welcome.
Antoinette, now we can share your rising signs later as we get towards the end of the seminar, but thank you, Yvonne and Marion. Next slide, please, Astrid. And so I thought that we would have a look at the soul word. So for here, this is just some of the information that I draw upon when I'm doing a reading. So for each of the moon, sun, and rising signs, I use the labors of Hercules for each sign to give me a little bit of information about the person that I'm dealing with. In my own regard for my Scorpio rising sign, for example, well, I use the Scorpio labor of the Hydra, which gives me an understanding of what I'm needing to overcome and deal with. I use the personality words for the moon and sun signs, and we will, on the next slide, I've got these words, the personality words and the soul words for the sun and the ascendant sign. So I've got those. I use these words a lot. In fact, I probably use them more than any other other symbology when I'm doing readings or when I'm interpreting anything. These words are the instructions given to us by our guiding solar angel as we re-enter incarnation in each of the signs. They set the trend of the personality life and the heights to which inner man soul can inspire to. So if we just click over to the next sign, and I'm sure that the next slide, thanks Astrid, and I'm sure that you are all very familiar with these soul words and the personality words. And while that slide is still coming, there it is now, we have it there. So if you haven't already had a look at these, I would recommend you go and find them. They're at Esoteric Astrology, pages 653 and 654. And in any sign, they give the clue about the limiting patterns that bind the soul in time of space, and they give us also the remedy and the clue, what we need to do to overcome that limitation and to grow into our spiritual or soul consciousness, soul destiny. So, for example, if we talk about Virgo, because we've been discussing Yvonne's rising sign, the limitation there is the materialism, which is an earth sign, of course. Let matter reign. And so the personality, for example, that is born into Virgo is very materialistic, especially if their consciousness is still bound up by the moon, the lunar pattern. They're very materialistic. That is their destiny. And by dealing with their material side, they will grow and grow closer to their soul. But we have to all work through whatever sign we're born in. Our personality has to work through that, and our soul must control those energies of that sign. The higher soul words, and they're quite abstruse for Virgo, I am the mother and the child, I, God, I, Mater, am. I've interpreted that as the Virgo person needs to really learn to anchor in that Christ child consciousness. We are told that Virgo is the sign in which the nurturing or the birth of the Christ child, of group consciousness, of soul consciousness, of true love takes birth. It's in Virgo. And so we see that Yvonne, for example, is moving from let matter reign, let the lower chakras control her, to becoming more Christ-like, in, or putting it another way, to be more radiant of the qualities of love and wisdom, which is what the soul or the Christ child is trying to present. And so we can see the balance and the instructions and how we can use them. For myself, for Scorpio, and so my inner personality level, I need to overcome Maya and deception. The words are, let Maya flourish and let deception rule. And so needing with illusion and deceitfulness of the lower self, how the emotions will blind consciousness and lead me astray. And the higher words, soul words of Scorpio are, warrior I am and from the battle I emerge triumphant. And so the goal there in Scorpio is to learn to rise above Maya and deception and to be the triumphant disciple. And so when I am doing work, I go through and I use this chart to try and understand what it is that this person is trying to let go of, or their soul is asking of them to let go of. These are the personality words, and what they are growing into, what they're needing to do to expand their soul consciousness. Okay, so very useful chart. And so we'll go through into the next slide, thanks, and we'll just put this into practice with, I've got Prince George's chart, and I thought you might find it interesting to work with his chart and just to apply these words. I've also got the labors of Hercules up just to try and bring a little bit of color into what I'm trying to convey here. So Prince George has the moon in Capricorn, and it is in the second house. The moon, we know, is the prison of the soul. It's describing, its sign is describing the pattern, the personality pattern that really is limiting the soul. The labor of Hercules is really interesting in Capricorn. In it, he traveled into Hades. He had to cross the river Styx. When he got into Hades or the underworld, he killed Cerberus, the three-headed dog. Then he freed Prometheus, who gave man the gift of fire. So it's quite a complex myth, that particular one. But into really my understanding of the myth, that if we go into Hades, and it's really in Capricorn, relating it to Capricorn, in this particular myth, the Capricornian person is bound by materialism. It's an earth sign. It is perhaps the Tibetan, I think, said somewhere, it's most materialistic of all the signs. And so, but it's a very powerful sign. Ray One is very powerful in it. And so to be able to free ourselves from that materialism, Hades, I relate that to Hades. To travel into Hades, or to travel in the material world, and to not be attracted by a material ambition anymore, one has to cross the river Styx. And it's really interesting, because in that river Styx, if you cross it, I understand you have to be pure of soul. And it symbolizes, in a way, the purification of the whole nature, river Styx. Interesting, it was the ferryman Charon, I think, who waited for Hercules, and Hercules had to pay him some money, and Charon ferried him over, and he landed in Hades. my interpretation of that, and there are several ways these myths can be interpreted, and I would invite you all to read these myths and try and interpret them in different ways. This will open up your intuition. But I see that as being symbolic of the real purification that we have to go through on the three levels of physical, emotional, and mental, because Hercules has to kill the three-headed dog. So here we have the key that it's on these three levels that this purification work has to be done. And it's only when the disciple or the initiate is really pure that he can then cross back over the river Styx to return to the world. In this case, it's not to the material world, but it's the key of going into the higher Buddhic plane, the higher spiritual levels. When we have purified ourselves to that extent, our consciousness is free to focus and be focused on those higher mental, higher Buddhic planes, atmic plane even. And so that's how I read that part of the myth. Then freeing Prometheus, showing that service is the great goal, of course, of all the signs eventually, and giving the man of the gift of fire. I see the Lord of Karma, who is so powerfully ruling in Capricorn, is we receive good karma, not that we look for it, but by that great act of courage and of benevolence that Hercules performed when he went to free Prometheus. He got this gift of fire, which is tells so much about karma and the laws of karma and that, etc. So that's just one way that I interpreted that particular myth. And so poor Prince George really needing, it's an opportunity for him if he lives up, and we'll get perhaps a sense of whether he's at the aspirant level. Tibetan does say that before you do a reading for anyone, you try and get a sense of where they stand on the path. Of course, if we were looking at a soul or reading the chart of someone who's still working on the mutable cross, still very much dealing with their personality stuff, perhaps even an Atlantean in consciousness, still bound by their emotional body, then we would not look to go past too much. Such a person is really still trying to do their purification work, perhaps going out into the world, because the words for the personality are, let ambition rule and let the door stand wide. And there's nothing that is going to develop the personality life faster, our intelligence faster, because Ray 3 flows through Saturn at Capricorn, than going out into the material world and trying to be very successful in a professional and material sense. It's part of our spiritual development. If we still haven't worked through that side of us, that is a great, could be a great spiritual injunction. Go out and work with your ambitions, be ambitious, and see how far that takes you through that experience. So for Prince George, coming from the lineage that he has with his great-grandmother, Queen Elizabeth II, who I believe myself is an initiate, certainly spiritual, who grandfather Prince Charles is certainly a mystic, very much is had a spiritual mentor in, I think it was Lawrence van der Post, has had some a spiritual orientation. I don't know if they were Masons, but very often the royal family were Masons. And Masonry is a very spiritual path as well. I have been a co-Mason in this life and had a real sense about the wonderful symbology rituals that take place in Masonry. And so he has this spiritual lineage. So I would say that he's most definitely an aspirant, perhaps a disciple, perhaps definitely at that stage aspirant disciple, and who knows whether he is an initiate. Only really his future life work when he gets to be an adult will reveal whether he is at that level or not. But definitely I believe that one of the goals for him in this life is to learn to overcome the past of the materialism that attaches to his family, his personal roots, his family karma, and also perhaps the karma of his country, which is England and its imperialistic roots. And so there is something about that our little prince has to learn to overcome that materialistic ambition. Does anyone would like to comment? Any thoughts that you have yourself in reading this a different way, perhaps, or commenting on what I may have said? If so, put your hand up. Okay, well, we'll go to the next slide and we will look at... Oh, yes, Astrid.
Can I take you back a little bit, please?
Yes.
You were speaking about modes. And you spoke about you try and establish where on a path a person is when you're giving them a reading.
Yes.
You mentioned mutable, in that someone who is mutable is probably still doing the purification work.
Yes, all right. Thank you for bringing up. One trouble when you've been doing astrology most of your life is you think most other people know what you're talking about. There are three crosses. And they relate to our personality consciousness, soul consciousness, and spiritual consciousness. And so the mutable cross is we work on that. We go through all signs, round and round and round and round. That's every sign, mutable, fixed, and cardinal, while we're on that mutable cross. And all that time, what we're trying to do is develop a strong personality, to integrate all the vehicles, to develop our emotional body, to develop our mental body, and start to integrate until we are a strong personality. And when we get to that stage, we've pretty much done our work on the mutable cross. But prior to then you start moving towards the fixed cross, which is when our soul starts to get interested in you and you start developing your soul qualities. So by the end of the time you come through your mutable cross experience, your footsteps are on the spiritual path, you're an aspirant, and you're moving towards the fixed cross. Is that a clearer...
That's much clearer, thank you. And then what about cardinal?
Well, staying on the fixed cross then. So we stay on the fixed cross for our first, second, and third initiation. So we purify our physical appetites, our emotional life, and our mental life. And when the soul is expressing itself fully through us, then we have come towards the end of our fixed cross experience and we start moving towards the cardinal cross, which is the cross of initiates or the cross of spirit. So at that level, the soul is being superseded even by our higher aspect, the spiritual triad and the monad working through, and that part of us works on the cardinal cross. So in all these three cross experiences, are hundreds and perhaps thousands of incarnations, and we work through all the signs. Every sign we go round and round and round the zodiac and we move from the mutable to the fixed to the cardinal cross. So we could say that most of humanity are still on the mutable cross, still getting themselves to the point where they are ready to step onto the spiritual cross, which is the fixed cross. And you could see that. So I don't know, we might think perhaps that two-thirds of humanity are still working on the mutable cross. Am I too optimistic in saying that perhaps a third of humanity are starting to move towards the fixed cross or on the aspirant path? Maybe it's more like 70-30 or something like that. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But anyway, you get the sense that there are a lot fewer souls on the fixed cross and just a very tiny few souls who are on the cardinal cross. However, when you think that there are millions of souls working in this present human incarnation, and a lot of them are not an incarnation at the time, there certainly would be a fair number on the cardinal cross. But most people in the world are on the mutable cross, but all of us who are working through an esoteric school like Moria Federation, we're on the fixed cross. fixed cross. It's Tibetan says we're staked out like this, and the reason we're staked out like that is because we have to learn to be transparent and open up our heart chakra. So really, that symbology of Christ on the cross, that is a great symbol for us, and the true meaning of that symbology is that we're learning to be inclusive, to be wise, to be heart-centered, heart-oriented, and compassionate. That is what that symbol of Christ on the cross really means, and it is a great symbol for us. Any comments? Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it? This mythology is quite beautiful.
Mm.
Okay, perhaps the next slide. Thank you, Astrid. So when we go forward and we look at Prince George's sun sign, and we see that his sun is in the very last degree of Cancer, the last 2 minutes. It's 29 degrees 58 minutes. And so he really is also moving into the sign of Leo, but there is just something about the Cancer experience that he still has not completed. And of course we see that, and this is often happens, that we have in our own birth charts signs that our parents had. And grandmother, Princess Diana, was a Cancerian sun sign. And I think his father also, William, I think, is also a Cancerian sun sign. So we have another Cancerian sun sign. And let's look at the labours of Hercules. Hunting the sacred doe, taking it from Artemis and Diana, then taking it to the temple of the sun god. So that was the mythology. So we link that up with the personality words of Cancer, which is, let isolation be the rule, and yet the crowd exists. And the higher goal, I build a lighted house and therein dwell. So we can see that, let's start with Artemis and the mythology. The Tibetan, in the book written by Bailey, Artemis was related to she was the goddess of the moon, related to our astral body, our emotions. Diana was a goddess of the sun, related to our mind, perhaps developing mind. Also, the sun is another symbol for the soul at the higher level. And so it really, for the Cancerian person, their goal is to try and overcome emotionalism, Artemis, and strive towards developing the intellect, Diana. And if they achieve that in this life, they then can go further and develop their intuition, which is the temple of the sun god, the Buddhic plane, we could see. And so that those three levels are possible for any person born with a sun in Cancer, or even the rising sign in Cancer. It's a great sign. A lot of our modern day of great souls have had Cancer rising. I think the Dalai Lama has Cancer rising. Nelson Mandela, I think, has a Cancer sun sign. Please correct me if I'm wrong. He has Sagittarius rising. Helena Blavatsky, I think, had Cancer rising. So we can see that the goal of the Cancerian sun sign is to really to grow into that nurturing, to build a lighted house. So not only do they build a lighted house within their own consciousness, the lighted house referring to this clear mind and intuitive consciousness, but also then if we are successful in that and that we are on the path by that time, then the higher goal then is to go out and help to build a lighted house for humanity. So if we relate this to George and his work, we can see that the sun is in this eighth house of transformation. So very much pinpoints and it says to George, he has a lot of work to do with his within his personality nature. He has Mercury in there, the mind. He has Mars in there, which is a symbol of his emotional body, and also Jupiter in there, which is a symbol of his heart chakra and the love aspect. And so we have some powerful planets in there, and most of his planets are in that house. And I know if you're a non-astrologer, that may be confusing, because we never brought the house into the astrology course in Great Quest. But however, for the astrologers here, it's interesting. That is the house of transformation, which really does emphasize George's need to overcome his emotionalism, really to develop a strong, intelligent mind, to develop his intellect and his higher intuition, which is pure reasoning, which will help him connect with humanity as a whole. Ray 3 flows through Cancer, and you will be doing, you've done the study on the rays. Ray 3 is the ray that relates us to the masses, and so we have this Ray 3. So in Cancer, it means everyone who's born in Cancer, which is very strong within them, being its sun sign or rising sign, they can make a connection with the masses. They can appeal to the masses. And we just have to think of the Dalai Lama, how he can make a connection with the masses. Princess Diana, the masses immediately took to her. And so it is with Prince George. He will be able to relate to the masses because of this. He's got the sun in Cancer, and especially if he does the inner work and learns to overcome his emotionalism and really start to work as a soul through the sun. And I believe that that is his destiny as a personality, cleansing that out, his personality out, and so that his soul can come through. The soul is the light that comes through and builds the lighted house. So not only will he be doing this, of course, in his own life, but if he becomes king, he will be doing this for the world as well, or for the countries in that are connected with England, like New Zealand and Australia, and even South Africa, all those countries that have had a very close connection with the England, and that will have, in a sense, when George becomes king, he will be representative of a lot of the work taking place in those countries as well. And so building a lighted house is a very important goal for him. So are there any questions about that, or any comments, or at all about that, or have you thought about it in another way, what this might mean for George?
I was just noticing that he was born during a full moon, and you know, this just reinforces all of the things that you have been talking about. The moon is actually his exoteric ruler of Cancer, so there's many different connections that bring that in, and it show that he has to build that lighted house, as you said earlier, for his family, for himself and the monarchy, and then for the country. So I think there can be the potential for this transparency, because it is a full moon. You know, it's not the beginning of a cycle. It's not a new moon. It's not the beginning of a cycle. It's halfway through the cycle, and the full moon completely illumines the night sky. So that is going to play out in the way that he transforms his personality from the past and from the present, and then how he's able to move that in a transformative way, because it's the eighth house, in conjunction with his soul purpose. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yes, thank you. That's beautiful. And the symbology of him being born at that time of the full moon with all that light around. And as we know, the full moon period is the most spiritually pure, the energy is the most spiritually pure at the time of a full moon, because the rays of the sun have fallen on the moon, which is such a negative energy, in fact, in space. And so there is really pure energy pouring through. And at that time, the masters have their inner rituals on the inner side to bring through the higher spiritual transformative energies. And so he was born at that time, which says something about him. Already his progress sun is in Leo, so he very much is growing up with a Leo consciousness, not with a Cancerian consciousness. And I think that in the world we will see Prince George as being coming forward and giving a presentation more a Leo type of personality, strong, confident, fiery, perhaps independent, and not the perhaps quite like his father was, who really does give a presentation of more Cancerian, more retiring, more of an introvert. I think we're going to see a lot more of the extrovert in Prince George, because for some reason he had to complete something, and I wonder if that had something to do with his grandmother and his father with that Cancerian touch. But he only had to touch base for, or put one footprint in Cancer, as it were, maybe two footprints, because there were 2 minutes before he goes into Leo. But on that day even, the sun crossed into Leo, so he very much, and moving forward, is very much a Leo type of consciousness. So it's just so very interesting. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. Thank you, Astrid. And let's look now at his rising sun. There we go. Oh, yes, Yvonne, thank you. I just love it when anyone asks questions.
I wanted to ask you about the sun and Saturn and the moon. They're squaring each other there. Is there a significance there?
Just a moment, Yvonne. Can you move back to that previous slide, please, Astrid? So the question was, say that again.
The sun, Saturn, and the moon are square. You said he had a lot of lessons to learn, or disciplinarians, yes. And Saturn, a big disciplinarian, yes. Or teacher.
Yes. Yes, it's very powerful, and any T-square, as we know, is a great tension pattern, a great learning pattern, because it symbolizes that there are parts of the personality that aren't working well together, or are at stress with each other. In one way, we could say, with Saturn being the hub of that T-square, we have the Lord of Karma there in Scorpio, which is also his rising spiritual sign. We can see that this is a very karmic life for him. And it's not surprising that he's born at this very important time. There's so much trouble in the world. He can have a great influence for good in the world, as his great-grandmother has had a great influence, I think, for good in the world. And so his life, he does not have a lot of freedom in this life. He's been born into this family. He's probably got his destiny mapped out. It's not just for his personal life. It's for the world as a whole, definitely for the Commonwealth nations, but even perhaps further than that. Though we know that the royal family of England don't seem to have political clout. Nonetheless, they do influence from behind the scenes. But with Saturn there in that T-square, even I see it being a very, very karmic life, that he's not free, and he really does need his soul, wants him to take the fight to his personality and to be victorious. And he will have some hard lessons. You'd have some hard lessons coming from the 11th house, from groups and friends, perhaps, that will help him, knock him into shape, as it were, as he deals with his personal values, moon in the second house, and the more esoteric values which his soul is wanting him to adopt, to let go of his materialistic needs, moon in second house, go towards that eighth house, free himself through that great intense battle that will be taking place within him, between his soul and personality. And it won't be easy for him. With Scorpio rising, which is a hard sign, and with Saturn and Scorpio and monitoring everything that he does. And the monitoring will come from his friends and the groups that he associates with. So it will be very interesting in the future for us to observe the type of friends he attracts around them. Of course, a lot of them will be from the aristocracy because, I mean, you grow up with that. He will probably go to Eden. So and Saturn is a old ruler of Aquarius of the third house. So schooling is going to be his education, formal education. He's going to suffer a lot from it because Saturn is influencing his school life as well. And Saturn is not soft or gentle, as we know. And that, so very, very difficult. But out of that struggle and out of that fiery cauldron, because Scorpio is the greater burning ground, out of that, all the negatives of the personality will get burnt up. This is the best that we can hope for. And he will emerge victorious as a very strong, intelligent, stable, strong, with all the positives of Saturn person. He will develop that very powerfully. All right, and the next slide then, as we go on and we look then at his rising sign, which is and what we're going to try and get out of that. So here's Scorpio. And interesting, he has, I've talked about this a little bit, these combinations, because I've talked about myself. I have the Sun in Scorpio, and I have Scorpio rising as well. I didn't intend it this way. I chose the Prince because he's such a really interesting subject to talk about. But we have here that he has the mythology of the Hercules surrounding Scorpio is that Hydra. So exactly what I was saying just previously about the hard knocks that he is going to experience when he goes to school. Well, that's doubly emphasized because he has Scorpio rising and all these nine heads, for example. And the ruler of Scorpio is Mars and Pluto, the rulers are. And so what his soul wants him to do is to, out of this burning ground, out of all these hard knocks, to emerge the warrior, to fight, to very much fight, and to come out victorious. In this, he is very different from his father, who is a Cancerian sun and Sagittarius rising. Prince George has Scorpio rising, which is the sign of the warrior. It's in the third decan, so very much the warrior. He's developing this. He's very strong. It tells me in the third decan that he's done a lot of this preparation in fighting the lower nature within himself in previous incarnations. Otherwise, I believe his rising sign would be in an earlier degree of Scorpio, but it's in the third decanate, which, and decanate is 10 degree lots, and it's in 27 degrees, so it's getting very towards the end of it. So there is what his karma is asking him to do, there is what his soul is asking him to do, warrior I am, and from the battle to emerge triumphant. And so there we have it. Now, and so he needs to, we talked about the Hydra myth before. In Scorpio, the warrior has to learn to raise his consciousness up from the mire and the mud, not fight on the level, but go up into a soul light, go up into the mind, illumined by the soul, and from there to fight the Hydra. And only then will he be able to defeat it. In the mythology, one of the versions, Hercules actually lifted the Hydra out of the mud, breaking its connection with the mud and the astral plane and the lower planes that give it life. It's symbolic of the personality having its link with the lower self broken, lifted up into the light, and it died in the light of the soul. So we can see there a hint of the third degree, which this is what happens at the third degree. The personality is lifted up and it dies in the light and the power of the personality. However, this myth is more symbolic of fighting the emotional body, the second initiation. And so we can get a real strong sense about, just summarizing, I'm going to deal a little bit more with the actual rulers of the ascendant. But so our summary is here. He's moving from an earth sign in moon. So he's having to deal with this materialism, the material things that hold him. He's needing to move towards water. The sun in Cancer, get in touch with his emotions, start to purify his emotional life, and then also moving towards water, the great sign of discipleship, Scorpio, and learn to really rise up and control his emotional life, and from the light then direct his world affairs. And so on a personality level, that is what he is being asked to do for himself. Both rulers, one of the rulers of the rising sign, Mars, is in Cancer, which is just another indication of the battle or cleansing to be taken place in his solar plexus chakra, in his emotional life. The other ruler on that level, Pluto, is also in Capricorn, retrograde, of course. So we get a real emphasis here of the great polarities of Cancer and Capricorn and the work that needs to be done between those two polarities. If we go to the higher ruler, the spiritual ruler of Scorpio, we have Mercury there. It, once again, it's back in Cancer again. So what does this all mean? Cancer is a sign of the masses. Third ray comes through it. He really is a warrior, going to be a warrior, and I can see in his future life, if he does the inner work, and he gets in control of his lower life. And by the way, being born in the aristocracy in England, one of the things that you learn at a very early age is to control your personality life. In the lower, perhaps the person who's not ready for that, it means repressing your emotions and that, and not letting them show. However, for the more advanced person, his training will come at a higher level. And today, in the royal family, they don't repress the emotions, especially since Diana came on board, learning to, the children have been brought up in a healthier way, encouraged to express themselves and to be natural children. So we can see she had brought just a most wonderful environment for little Prince George to be born in, to be born in a healthy environment and to be encouraged to express his emotions, talk about them, not to be ashamed of them. And that will really enable him to develop his higher Scorpio qualities. And so I see in the future, my feeling is that he will be out there fighting for humanity if he achieves that goal, his personal goal, which I believe that he will, just looking at the lineage of his family, I believe that he will. And so he will be out there in the eighth house of transformation, fighting for the masses, the people, the Cancer, and helping transform the values of the day, trying to help humanity overcome the greedy values that we have here, the second house, Moon and Capricorn, the selfish values we see today, the greed in the world, which the Tibetan talks so much about as being the real problem of the world, greed in banks and the 1%ers in the world, and how capitalism has really caused the wealth to flow upwards rather than down and outwards. I see Prince George, or King George as he might be one day, really being an advocate for right human values and helping to re-establish them on Earth. So, I've been talking a lot. Does anyone have any comment about that? Would you like to offer your own interpretation of that or anything else you've seen in the chart?
Are you on the astral here again?
Yes.
I see that he has his son and moon are in opposition.
Yes.
The fact that his son is in the 8th house suggests that his son now has to transform his emotions.
Yes, yes. That's the whole essence of what we're... The 8th house is the health of death and transformation. And absolutely. And you see the moon rules the sign that the sun is in on the personality level. We've got a very clear message that that is what he's needing to do. Now, if we take it up higher and look at the mission of the work that he will be doing as king and perhaps more in the world, we can see, translate what I have just said, what you have just said, into his life work, his service work, helping humanity do that. So I see very much his goal is to help re-establish right human relations on Earth for everybody, not just for the elite. He will really be a prince and king for the people. Thank you, Astrid. Are there any other thoughts?
I would like to add that it isn't going to be easy for him because we see that right human relations and compassion can be described by Neptune and Venus, both of them opposite each other and square in another T-square for him, square his ascendant. So that's going to be a challenge for him to do that. But my experience with challenges is most of us, especially when we recognize our soul purpose, we will really dig in and accept the challenge and do the work that's necessary to bring that compassion of the Savior from Neptune, which is the heart of his personality sun and also the esoteric ruler of his personality sun, and then work with that Venus, the solar angel and one of the representatives of right human relation, and to be able to take them as the warrior and raise that up above the commonness of the masses and put it in the soul light. So he has the potential to do that if he can accept and be triumphant over the challenges that those are all going to present. But it's interesting how that works out. His esoteric ruler, his soul ruler of his sun, fitting in with that soul purpose in that T-square with his ascendant.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. The other thing is, of course, we have a kite. And Venus is at the point of it.
Right,
if you
right.
bring
it's
in,
top,
so we have a triangle with there with a grand trine with his Jupiter, Mars trining Saturn, trining Neptune, which will really help him. So I remember when I was talking before about the T-square from Saturn, Moon and Sun, well, this will help soften that experience because the triangle, of course, is an easy flow of energy. So he will get great support from Saturn, mentors, teachers, who knows. Also, a tremendous courage because one point of that triangle is in that Mars-Jupiter. That's tremendous Martian courage. And there is, we have the ruler, one of the rulers of his rising signs, Mars, in there with conjunct Jupiter, all its power expanded, giving him tremendous courage, but also compassion, because we have, as you pointed out, we have Neptune there. But at the peak of it, we have Venus, and she's in her detriment in Virgo. But still, all that is saying is the soul is bound in matter and materialism. If he is successful in his battle, then the soul will be freed from that, and Venus will, shine a light. But it's a powerful chart and a lot of potential in it. And I agree with what you say with hard aspects. I've never seen anyone who's on the path who doesn't have a chart full of hard aspects, because I think at that stage the soul is asking us, it's all about purification, cleaning up our act, and so the hard aspects show us where our stuff lies and where we need to focus on. So thank you for that. He's got a lot of hard aspects. Any other comments?
I also wanted to add, you reminded me, I always look at the trines as a benefit that we've earned in a prior life, but we can take them for granted and we sit back and don't use them. But it's always the hard aspects, it's the squares that I think of as that swift kick in the pants that gets us, it forces us to use those. That's in our toolkit for us to be able to use. As you said, they're going to soften, they're going to assist him with the work that he needs to do when he accepts those challenges. And I think he's got the potential to do that. It'd be so interesting to watch him grow up.
Yes, thank you for that. I'm just looking at all the six styles around this chart. I'm not sure there's one missing or we would have a six-pointed star. There's no six-style linking up into Taurus, but there could be an asteroid there, of course, but it's just so interesting. So let's go to the students. So what do you think on what we have covered here? I know we covered a lot, and it hasn't perhaps more than I intended to go, but do you have any thoughts at all about Prince himself or what we've covered so far this morning? Maybe not. All right, well, we'll go on and we'll look out. So that's a little bit of example. If I was going to now work with, going back to what I was saying earlier about the rising sign being connected with our future, it indicates, it holds the secret of the future. And so I'm seeing here, perhaps in George's next incarnation, I would say that that placement of Mars, because we've got the two rulers of Scorpio, Mercury and Mars, are together in the eighth house. I see an advocate for human rights, so even in the following life, I see him continuing with that role in fighting for human rights. And so that's just a simple way of how I would extend that and possibly and just throwing out the hypothesis that perhaps you can read the rulers of the ascendant sign as being symbolic in some way of a future incarnation. Yvonne, Bill, can you unlock? Thank you. Yvonne, what do you have to say?
When you're doing this, BL used to take an arrow, somebody takes an arrow, and just show us the, because it took me many minutes to find the kite, and then I'm looking for the T-squares, so maybe I'm not the only one who can't find these. That would help us if you'd show us where they are.
Unfortunately, Yvonne, I can't. My internet speed is so slow.
Astrid is doing it.
It's been a little bit of a challenge, and yes, that's right. Astrid, were you? Yes, Astrid is showing us now where the kite
is. That's the kite.
Okay,
that's
the kite. Okay.
What's the
kite mean?
Leonie?
Yes, that was the kite. Thank you for that, Astrid.
What was your question? What's it? Got something there.
What does a kite mean?
Oh, a kite mean. It's a powerful aspect which summarizes everything. It has hard aspects in it. A hard aspect because it has the opposition. But it's fundamentally the energy flows, and it's a beautiful pattern. And what it means is exactly what we've been saying. The challenges will be there. But if you work to overcome those challenges, you will leave your mark on life. You will have, it's a great success pattern, a potential success pattern in life. And if you look at the kite, it's such a beautiful pattern. So it does symbolize in a way anyone who has a kite that they potentially can do something with their life and they leave their mark on life. And it depends upon the level of consciousness as to whether that mark might be on the good side or on the negative side, of course. But that is generally what the kite means. And the triangle in it and the easy And the top of the kite shows that the energies really flow in a harmonious way. So it will not be too difficult, the kite suggests, to overcome the limitations, because you have the grand trine, the energies flowing, the universe really, and people will help you achieve your goals. It's really like, I think you referred to it, Bill, as being some good karma. This is the way I would. A trine is saying you will receive assistance, you have earned it by right. So that is a way that a kite can be interpreted. The T square, on the other hand, I believe that the T square is the mark. Of a successful people usually have T-squares. Can you just mark out a T-square, please, Astrid, between Saturn, the Sun, and Moon? So we have, there we have Saturn going to the Sun and down there and down to the Moon. There's a T-square. And so we have three hard aspects, and the only more challenging aspect than that is a grand cross, and when you have a planet, in this case it would be planet opposite Saturn and Taurus, and then you would have it, and it really symbolizes a great challenge. And when people have grand crosses, I've found it's very hard for them often to overcome the limiting patterns that symbolizes. But T-square, I believe most successful people in life have a T-square in their chart. Or, putting it another way, if you have a T-square in your chart, you are going to be so unhappy with circumstances, so not content with what the circumstances of your life are, that you are going to work really, really, really hard to make changes. And that's why I say that hard aspect, T-square, usually is such a motivation to get us cracking, because we're so unhappy with the circumstances we find ourselves in. And so that symbolises with George, there's going to be something that he finds in his life that, because you've got a couple of T-squares, he's not going to be content. And it is that discontent that is the key. Mars, in a way, that sets us cracking and working to try and change our conditions, change our environment to one that we are more harmonious, we feel more harmonious within. So really interesting. Astrology is such a beautiful science. So that's what we see with the T-square.
Leonie?
Yes, pardon?
I wanted to mention that he actually has two kites, because Pluto is at the apex of his second kite, because as you pointed out, he's only missing one point to have that six-pointed star. But we have a comment from Anne, and she says, the kite isn't yet a square, so is it relevant? Well, it's a different configuration than a square. The kite is made of the two sextiles from Venus to Saturn and Venus to Jupiter Mars. And then it's made of the grand trine, the grand water trine that he has there. So those are the opportunities and the benefits, but it ties into the T-squares that Leonie was just talking about and that I talked a little bit about earlier. And so that's what makes it so powerful, is the opportunities and the benefits of the kite work directly with the challenges and the stress of the T-squares that he's got there.
Thank you, Bill. That was well said. Okay, we'll move on. We're sort of running out of time. So now we've got, we've come to the section, part of this webinar, where we said we would look at the rising signs of students. So Yvonne, we've had a look at yours, but Bebe, Antoinette or Anquises, would anyone of you like to have us look and do a little interpretation on your chart? Put your hands up. Antoinette, all right, can you tell me what your ascendant sign is, Antoinette?
I've got Pisces ascendant and Sagittarius sun.
Yes.
Pisces and Sagittarius sun and then Leo Moon.
So your ascendant is in Pisces. Okay.
Pisces, yes.
Okay, so if we go and look at the keywords, you just go to the next slide, thanks, Astrid. I've brought the keywords up again. So the keywords for Pisces, I leave my father's house and turning back, I say, well, even the beginner in astrology knows that Pisces is a real sign of service. And when we look at your three charts, Moon and Leo, so you're moving from a Moon in Leo, which is all about, in a way, it's really interesting because Leo is such a powerful sign, Leo. And we can see that it's telling us in a way that in a previous life you've been very powerful. You've had a very powerful position. You probably developed your personality skills. You've probably got great leadership skills as well. Needing to leave those behind now. The Sun in Sagittarius, that's a sign of discipleship, so it's saying be very one-pointed and travel far, far and fast along the path in this life. And towards the goal is a goal of service. So we've got a water sign here. So you're moving from fire to water. Fire is very much to do with service as well, but the goal here for you on a personal sense is to really try and overcome the need to, in a personal sense, try and overcome the need to control everything around you. That's the Moon in Leo. And to really develop a consciousness of Pisces, which is more fluid and just really opening up your heart chakra, because that's what we're really getting into. Tell me, where is Pluto in your chart? Do you know Pluto will be in, what sign is Pluto in?
I'm not 100% sure of where Pluto is.
That's all right. It would just given us another angle. But really, it's all about you serving in some humanitarian and selfless way. So tell me, do you have any aspirations to serve or to help other people? If so, are you doing that, or how would you like to do that?
I've been studying Reiki and teaching it for 14 years, so I have been, and reflexology of course, so I have been serving people for quite many years now, in that sense.
And, yes, and that just really fits in with the Pisces as well. It's such a great sign of service. And it's interesting that you're doing reflexology, because Pisces is a sign that rules the feet.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's really coming up so strongly. At some time, it might be really important to look and find out where Pluto is in your chart, because the other side of Pisces is the need to cut away something. When we get and start working as a soul in Pisces, Pluto starts to come through, and we are being asked to eliminate and cut away all non-essentials and to fine-tune our area that we would like to serve in. There's quite a lot of noise coming through. Is
Antoinette, we're getting a lot of background noise from you.
Okay, Antoinette, is there anything, are you fine-tuning your life? Are there things that you are prioritizing with? Are you cutting away anything?
Yes, I have been cutting away quite a lot because I've lost everything that I would call possessions in the past 7-8 years, and starting all over again on a materialist and a materialistic sense, letting go of everything that's materialistic and shifting the focus into training the personality to look more into the spirit side of things and not so much focus on anything that's material.
Well, I would say your soul is working very closely then, because those are very hard experiences, losing everything you have. And it's so typical of how the first ray does work when the soul is wielding it. And I don't know if you've read somewhere, I think it's in Psychology 2, when he's talking about how the first ray comes in and it destroys the garden. It comes through and everything in this beautiful garden is totally destroyed, and the gardener is instructed to start gardening again. And that so fits the description that you've given us for your life. So if it's any comfort to know, is your soul is working very closely with you, I would say.
Yes, thank you. My experience was very hard, but it's the meditation has taught me to still everything that my son was chasing on a personal level. So the meditation is helping me to go inside and focus on the inner journey.
Yeah, well done, Antoinette, and thank you for letting us discuss your chart. So, Bibi and Anne, would either of you like us to talk about your chart? I think Anne has sent a message. While you're taking that, Bibi, if you would like to give me your ascendant sun and moon signs. Hi, Bibi.
We've lost your microphone. Somehow we've lost your microphone, Bibi. Can you speak?
Well, have you got Anne's details? Perhaps I'll go on to that one.
Actually, what she says is she can't speak. She's on a tablet.
Does she want to share her?
She says, let me see. Don't know my rising sign. I have a Scorpio sun. Do not know very much about astrology.
Okay. All right. Well, and you would have got a lot about Scorpio and about the need to be the warrior, to fight, and to emerge triumphant.
Oh, here we go. Her microphone's back. Okay. Can you speak now, Bibi? You're on self-mute. You need to... There you go. Can you speak now?
Right. I don't know if you heard me before. I have the moon in Cancer, the sun in Scorpio, and the rising sun in Libra.
Okay, thank you. I've got that, Bibi. So, very interesting. So you would have got quite a bit out of what we've been talking about this morning. We've discussed Cancer and Scorpio quite widely. But it says that the need to overcome... Oh, Bia, would you like to do this, please?
I guess Cancer is the reason why I've had so much emotional troubles.
Yes,
in my
would
life.
Be.
I was completely controlled by my emotions until I was 35, 40 years, I must say. And but now I think I have overcome that, and I'm trying to use my intellect more to get in balance. And that, I guess, is what Libra is asking me to do.
Yes.
I have some troubles with the Scorpio, though. I think that is the key for rising up triumphant anyway, and trying to put everything in the light of the spirit and not to fight on the ground, as to say.
Yes, you have a real challenge because you have the two water signs that are really related to the emotions, Scorpio and Cancer. What that tells me is that in this life you're very much being asked to purify the emotional life and to be triumphant. And the goal is to try and keep doing your meditations and lifting your consciousness up into the mind. If you meditate, the mind will become infused with the light of the soul, and the soul can come through and help you do the fighting. And so I have that combination as well, a slightly different arrangement, but I have found that that was only, meditation has been the real successful key to helping me overcome the emotional and desire nature, because meditation allows the soul to come through and give you advice and to help you. And Libra, the whole goal, of course, is to find inner peace, balance and harmony. And to so that is your real goal. And anyone who has Scorpio and Cancer in them, the great desire is for emotional peace, because you're also always so torn and always so you're struggling so much with your emotions and trying to find balance, that ray four pouring through Scorpio, that peace and harmony and balance is to be cherished. So that is a reward if you can really achieve that. Through Libra, Ray 3 flows through there, which is the intellectual sign. So once again, we're getting a double message, as it were, for you to really develop your mind and to illuminate through meditation, and that will help you win the fight. And so the message is very clear. The putting it into action is the hard part, baby.
Yes. Yes, I think this is very true, because when I started meditation, that was when I realized I didn't have to get myself controlled by the emotions anymore. So it took a long time going through that, but now I'm starting on the intellectual part, and it's a little bit difficult because I have this past foggy intellectual long period. So, but I recognize that with meditation, this comes through and gets strengthened.
Yes, your key words for you to help you, your mantra is, I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force. And so at any time of difficulty, if you sound that mantra to yourself, that's your special spiritual mantra, and it will help give you that balance. There's some power in those words for you.
Thank you, Leonie.
Okay, thank you, Evie.
Leonie?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention, without, you know, one of the things I look at is the patterns and the relationships between the rulers in the chart, but we don't have that, so we can't really tell that right now. But I think it's really interesting how these two words of power play off of each other, because I always look at the relationship between the personality, sun, and the ascendant. The soul. And here what we're seeing is that the way for her to overcome the personality battles is to lift it into the air, and that is exactly what her soul sign is. So it's a reinforcement for her that the soul is reached through the air, through the mind, through that different perspective of raising it up at the soul level. And then applying the words of power, I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force. So,
thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, Belle. All right. Thank you, BB, for help enabling us to do that. And did we have anything from Anne? What did Anne say? Was it only a Scorpio sun?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about the Scorpio sign today, and just something I would like to say, there's something about me, I've got Scorpio rising. Most students who come into my classes or who in that seem to have Scorpio around them somewhere powerfully, so it just seems to be that we're learning from each other, and something magnetic there. But with Scorpio and the sun sign, I'm hoping what we said to Bibi is that you can relate to as well. It really is trying to the message is, if we can, we will be triumphant if we can raise ourselves up above the battlefield, and we translate that as being the method meditation and trying to, through meditation, analytical meditation, as well as perhaps some more inspirational type meditation, we train the mind, and we train the mind in a way where it becomes infused with soul light, and that is the key, because we can't defeat the Hydra on its own from the personality level. Only the soul can defeat it. So light in this sense really symbolizes the light of the soul, the light of illumination, the light of intuition coming through. And it is that light, soul light, which wins the day for us. So really, instead of thinking about the battle outside, if we just sat down every day and religiously did our meditation aligned with our soul, and did our analytical work, we would be winning our outer battles, because we are doing what is the essential work to be done to overcome the Hydra, is to build the link to the soul and enable it to come through. So that's another way to look at it. Okay, so I think we've gone over our time, well over our time. So I want to thank everyone for participating today, Astrid and BL for being there as always, and also for our students who really add that touch of colour and enable it to be a really worthwhile type of webinar that you've given of your own thoughts and that as well. So are there any final questions before we close this webinar?
We have a little clarification from Anne, and she says, the Scorpio sun was the sun as in a boy child and not her her sun. She says she doesn't know her S-U-N sign. Born on Virgo, and I think I have my moon in Leo.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. I just looked at her application, and her birth time was a two-hour window. So we could probably narrow down her sun and maybe her moon, but we wouldn't be able to figure out her ascendant without some kind of rectification.
Yeah, we're talking about Anne, aren't we?
Yes.
And if you have any questions, you can email me later about that. So it's just not clear at the moment. Is there a final comment from Antoinette?
Yes, she says she thinks her Pluto is in the 5th, 6th, or 7th house.
Okay, so it just means, of course, that whichever house Pluto is in, that's where the pruning elimination work would most be taking place. So fifth is to do with children or our creative work, six is work, and I don't know what that other house was.
Seven.
Okay, so if there are any other questions that you have or follow up, you can always email BL or myself after the webinar. Thank you very much for participating, everyone, and we'll close the webinar now. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.